beautiful.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas!
Wow, it's wonderful to look up and see all you in the balcony as well. Merry Christmas. I'll try to remember to look up as well. It's good to be here. I almost thought I wasn't going to make it today. I came down with a really bad flu, and I was completely bedridden for the last couple of days. But thanks be to God, He gave me strength. Please pray for me, because it's not all there, but with God's help, I know I can do this. You know, when I was in high school, the Korean church that I went to had a joint service with the joint Christmas Eve candlelight service with the predominantly white church that they rented the facility from. It was a beautiful church with, and the preacher's platform was really high, so you had to really look up to see the preacher. And the Christmas Eve candlelight service was beautiful. There was a grand procession with ministers wearing full regalia, marching in the beginning with candles, and the full choir following. You know, there are about 600 people at the Christmas Eve candlelight service, even though the Caucasian church actually only had about 50 people usually in their worship services. But they also had about 20 to 30 Koreans who came to this joint service. And the white preacher preached a gentle homily for about 5 minutes, you know. And then the Korean pastor came up to the platform and started to preach passionately as if the whole crowd was Korean. And he just went on and on yelling and screaming like he usually does in Korean. And he just kept on going for like 30 minutes. I remember just sitting there and I saw a bunch of white people just stuck in their seat. They don't know what to do. That was a fun moment. Pretending to be interested in something that they had no idea what it's about. I was sitting there feeling awkward. But you know, that as I thought about this, it was one of my first experiences in multicultural worship service, and it happened at a Christmas Eve service. Last night as I was thinking about a Christmas Eve service, I didn't get to go, but I thought about this service as I was telling this story to my kids. I couldn't stop laughing at how funny it was. It was one of my most enjoyable Christmas Eve memories. I love Christmas. I love Christmas Eve, especially because that's the time that my family used to get together. I love singing Christmas carols. I know some of you who know me know that I love singing Christmas carols to an extreme. I love Christmas decorations, Christmas trees and lights. No, I also have some nostalgic memories of white Christmas. How many of you have actually experienced a white Christmas? I mean, that's great. That's great. Yeah, when Grace and I were first married, her parents lived in Minnesota. So every Christmas we would go to Minnesota, and it's always white there. And I think it's white there like 6 months a year, but it's always white there. And it was beautiful. And I have a very fond memories of white Christmas there. But, you know, her family moved out to California, so I don't go over to Minnesota now. So I don't get to experience that as much. We all know, however, you know, even though Christmas is beautiful, there's a lot to it. So much of Christmas has been turned into a commercial circuit. So much of Christmas has become about buying and buying, I guess it makes the economy go around. But it also creates a lot of financial stress in our lives. One good thing about Christmas is that we spend more time with family. But many of us have broken relationship with families. So it creates a lot of stress. Even getting together, the idea of getting together with family creates stress. While Christmas is a jolly time for many, it is a difficult time for many of us as well. A lot of people feel lonelier. Suicide rate actually goes up during Christmas season. And a lot of people are stressed over the holiday. You know, we're not the only ones who are stressed over the Christmas holidays. Mary and Joseph were also stressed over the birth of baby Jesus. And I think what they experienced during that time and how God comforted them might also give us some comfort as we experience stresses in our lives. So the sermon title today is Peace for the Stressed Out. So let's read the story. We read this a little earlier, part of this story a little earlier, but let's read this story and see some of the things that might help us as we experience stress in our lives. So let's go to Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. See, I don't even know how to pronounce certain words either, so it's okay. I'm talking to kids, but it's not okay with them. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth, Galilee, in Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Amen. "This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God, saying, this must have been awesome. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Great company of heavenly hosts, all these angels for these few shepherds. Just amazing. And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried up and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. Amen. So, first of all, let's look at some of the stresses that Mary and Joseph experienced. So think about the stress of living under a brutal empire, the Roman Empire. And because of the decree of Caesar Augustus, they had to go all the way from Nazareth to Bethlehem while Mary was very pregnant. I'm sure during her third trimester of her pregnancy. The census is not just, you know, some sort of a population study. Is to collect taxes. And so Mary and Joseph had to deal with the stress related to this oppressive government requiring them to do things that are not reasonable for them to do. And I know that many of us, may feel that sense of oppression from government or society requiring us to do something that we believe is unreasonable. And I want you to know that Jesus was also born into oppression. And his parents felt it very personally. Think about the stress of living under the cloud of social condemnation. We know that the Holy Spirit caused Mary to be pregnant, right? Before Mary and Joseph were married. They were betrothed to one another. Betrothed is like a legal marriage, but it's kind of more like engagement. Their marriage was not consummated until the wedding day. So it would have been a lot of questions and rumors about Mary's pregnancy. In a little town like Nazareth, in fact, she could have been stoned to death for possible adultery. So it's not just Joseph who would have questioned it. We know from the story of Joseph and Jesus that Joseph questioned their pregnancy, but it would have been her family, the whole village, who would have questioned the timing of her pregnancy as well. And I'm sure this created a lot of stress in Mary's life. Think about just general stress caused by pregnancy. When you're pregnant with your first child, you are especially stressed. Your second and third is a breeze. But your first, you don't know, so just saying. It's actually pretty hard. Your second and third, I don't need to say it. But it is easier. Your first, you don't know anything. You think to yourself, oh my goodness, the world. Yeah. So anyway, it's really stressful. And of course, then she has to walk about 100 miles. When you see pictures of Mary and Joseph walking, Mary's always riding on a donkey. I don't think so. She walked. Most people walked from Nazareth to Bethlehem. It's about 100-mile walk. And that would have been very stress-inducing during her pregnancy. And then when she gets there, Mary goes into labor. Joseph is probably frantic, looking for a clean place to give for Mary to give birth. And of course, there is no hospital. I mean, this is an ancient time. There is no hospital. They couldn't even find an inn. The only place they could find was a little cave where they kept animals. So imagine the stress that Mary and Joseph felt as she goes into labor. During my sabbatical year last year, my family and I went to the Holy Land as part of our journey. While we were in Jerusalem, we decided to visit Bethlehem. Bethlehem is only about 5 miles away from Jerusalem. It's in the West Bank area, which it's an Arab area beyond the wall that Israel built to keep out the Arabs. So people told us that because it's in the West Bank, we should take a tour. We should take a professional tour to get to the birthplace of Jesus, because they said it's kind of complicated to get there and stuff. But I said, no problem. We're not like them, but we need to take a tour. We know how to do this. It's only a 5-mile trip, and we could take that bus and we'll figure things out. Plus, the tour was like 10 times the price of the bus. And so, I'm trying to save some money, so we took a little rundown bus and dropped us off at, a few miles short of the birthplace of Jesus. And so, and there were some taxi drivers there that we had to negotiate with, and somehow we made it to the birthplace. And then afterwards, as we were driving back, they told us that the bus wasn't operating anymore to take us back, because it was some sort of a Sabbath for both Jews and Muslims. And so, they said, the taxi driver said, the only way you can do so is to go through the checkpoint and maybe pick up a taxi on the other side of the checkpoint. So, he drove us through a pretty crazy part of town and then told us to get out of the taxi, and then he decided to just walk. He just left the taxi in the middle of the market, and he just said, follow me, and we walked through this pretty wild market, and then we finally get to this checkpoint that looks like some sort of an entrance to the refugee camp. And Somehow we made it past the checkpoint, and then when we got to the other side, I realized I didn't really have that much money for a taxi, and there are no taxis or buses operating at all because of the Sabbath. And so we had to negotiate with a private car driver with very little money that I had. Somehow we made it back to the place we were staying, but it caused a lot of stress on my family. But now, when we think about it, it's actually a great story. When we think about it, and it's always like that when you think back. That's my visit to Bethlehem story. I just thought I'd insert it to the story, but the fact that it was very stressful. Obviously, that was nothing compared to the stress that Mary and Joseph experienced coming to Bethlehem. She was pregnant, walked over 100 miles, went into labor, and she couldn't find a place to give birth. The only place they could find was a place that animals stayed. And it would have been disgusting, it would have been smelly. My kids always point out a lot of poop on the floor because that's where the animals hang around. And they had nothing. Nothing but a feeding trough to lay baby Jesus to sleep. And I'm sure this is not something that Mary had imagined for her firstborn. I remember Grace and I shopping for Caitlin's crib. It was a beautiful walnut crib, and nothing like that for Jesus. You think about it from Mary's point of view. The Holy Spirit made her pregnant. She was told that she was going to give birth to the Son of God, the King of David, the Messiah. I think for Mary and Joseph, I think it would have been natural for them to feel like God was going to take care of them. Then for all these things to happen, I mean, I think if I were Mary and Joseph, it would have made me question the whole thing. And then if this wasn't enough, they learned that King Herod is after the baby Jesus. He wanted to kill baby Jesus. And he ordered babies in Bethlehem to be killed. An angel told Mary and Joseph to run away to Egypt to escape Herod's terror. They couldn't even go back home to Nazareth. They had to flee and live as a refugee and an immigrant in an unfriendly country. A lot of stress in Mary and Joseph's life. I know all of us face a lot of stress in our lives. For some of us, it's financial. You know, a lot of us have trouble making our ends meet. Maybe that's how Joseph and Mary felt when they had to pay taxes in Bethlehem. I know sometimes I wonder if there is absolutely no room in Bethlehem, or maybe they were just too poor to find a room for them at their price range. Mary and Joseph were poor. We know this because later on when they go to Jerusalem to make a sacrifice for Jesus, they gave the offering that the poorest people were allowed to give, an offering of a dove. So they didn't have much. And you know, in this society, they didn't have a social security system, no welfare, no general relief. They lived in constant stress of not having enough. And I know some of us sometimes feel like the system is not for us. The government is not for us. Well, Mary and Joseph can identify with us. They were oppressed by the system, not only the Roman government, but also this so-called Jewish government led by King Herod. They ended up as a refugee in an immigrant Egypt. As an immigrant in Egypt. Remember, Egyptians didn't mind Jews. There's a long history of that. And Jesus grew up as an oppressed minority in a powerful country that did not like Jews. And sometimes we get stressed by things that happen that we can't control, losing control of the circumstances in our lives can induce so much stress. But things happen regardless of what we do. We can't keep everything in control. And that's stressful. I mean, think about Mary and Joseph when they had to suddenly go on this trip. And that would have been stressful. They were tired from the journey. She goes into labor. There's no room. They had to give birth at a place not designated for birth. They had to run away to another country. And by the way, they had to run the wedding. You ever think about that? They were only in control. They haven't had their wedding celebration yet. It seems like the circumstances of their lives were completely out of control and therefore stressful. You guys sometimes feel like that, the circumstances of your life seem completely out of control. And you're under constant stress. Now, how does God respond? How does God respond to our stress? God didn't protect Mary and Joseph from the stress of walking to Bethlehem, or the stress of paying taxes they couldn't afford, the stress of going into labor at a very bad time, or the stress of finding a clean room to give birth, or the stress of having to run away to Egypt and start a new life in a very strange place. You know, I know that we all want God to change our circumstances immediately so that we can avoid the stress that we experience in our lives. We have a vision of what a perfect life might look like, and we ask God to make that happen. Lord, give us more money. Give us a home. Give us health. These are perfectly legitimate things to ask God for. But God doesn't always answer our prayer. I'm sure Mary and Joseph prayed for protection. But their circumstances did not change for the better. They were called by God to give birth to the Son of God, who God loved. And God didn't make it easy for them. Didn't make it perfect for them, at least from the perspective of human beings. I think there's one lesson that we can learn from that reality. Just because God doesn't change a bad circumstance in our lives does not mean that God doesn't love us. You have to remember, God loves Jesus, right? My good and faithful servant, whom I love, God said. God loved Mary and Joseph, yet He made them endure some of these hardships. I believe that God has a purpose for allowing these things to happen. I don't know what they are, but it's important to continue to trust in the Lord. Yet God didn't leave them alone to just endure their hardship. God provided some graces. Grace means, it could just mean a favor, a gift, some grace from God. He provided a few graces, even in the midst of these sufferings, to help them. One example is God told Mary and Joseph to run away to Egypt to be protected from King Herod. Even in the midst of suffering, God continues to guide them. Even in the midst of your suffering, your hardship, your stress, God will continue to guide you. And He not only guides us, God gave them what they needed for the journey He was calling them to go on. God knew that Mary and Joseph were going to need some resources, right? They got to run over there poor. They don't have much resources. They came to Bethlehem to pay some taxes. And then all chaos broke loose, right? And now they got to run away to Egypt. They don't got money. They don't have anything. But God knew that. God provided some resources for them through the gifts of the Magi. You know, Magi were not Jews. They were most likely Persians. And the word translated as Magi is actually translated as sorcerers in other parts of the New Testament. It's the same word. So these where people will actually practice black magic, which God told the Israelites not to practice. For some reason, God used foreigners who lived in sin to provide baby Jesus, provide for his life during his life as a refugee immigrant in Egypt. Did you ever think about that? These gifts probably sustained them in their life in Egypt. And these gifts came from a very sinful source. You know, we sing about the wise men, and it's beautiful and all, but if you really look at how God embraced even the sinners of Persia who practiced black magic as part of the story of the birth of Jesus, it shows us how broad and loving God's heart is. But the point I'm trying to make here is that sometimes God's provisions, God's providence, come from unexpected places. God is always working outside the box. And I believe that often He knows what we need to live out the calling that He has made in our lives. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that God always does that. Sometimes God calls us to endure. I think there's a lot of issues related to why. So, you know, why does He provide for some? And why doesn't He provide for others? If He doesn't provide, does it mean that I'm not walking in His calling? I can't answer all of those questions right now. It'd be too much for this sermon. You might want to go back and listen to a sermon that I preached on that topic earlier in the year, March 20th of this year, called Unanswered Prayers in a Prayerful Life series. So it's in our website, so you can go and listen to that sermon to help deal with some of those issues. Now, God knew that Mary and Joseph needed encouragement to be able to endure the hardship that they were going to endure. So one of the things that He did is this. So He had His angels and shepherds nearby, that the Messiah, that a Savior has been born, and God had this great company of heavenly hosts sing to the shepherds, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests. And the angels told the shepherds, this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. And, you know, essentially, the angels are saying, go tell Mary and Joseph what you saw, right? Why did He say this will be a sign to you? You will see a baby wrapped in a manger, wrapped in cloth on a manger. Because the angels are saying, now go tell them what you saw. Mary and Joseph. And so they did. That's exactly what they did. They found the baby lying in the manger and told Mary and Joseph what they saw. And then if you look at verse 19, it tells us this. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Even in the midst of hardship. Even in the midst of all the disappointment and the stress. And the stress of giving birth, the situation, financial pressure. By the way, the Magi don't come for another several months. It doesn't. That Magi event does not happen on the night of the birth of Jesus. It happens much later. And so, at this point in time, He doesn't have anything. In the midst of this situation, a message is delivered through a shepherd that God has come and said, a Savior has been. And angelic hosts have sung. And Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. In the midst of the hardship, God delivered a message to Mary and Joseph saying, I am with you. I am with you. That call that I made in your life 9 months ago, see, the last vision that Mary had was 9 months ago when she got pregnant. That Holy Spirit, the angel Gabriel showed up and said, you're going to get pregnant. It's all hardship since then. I mean, the social condemnation to all the things going wrong in our life. But now, God, through the shepherds, delivers a message to her and says, I'm with you. I am going to fulfill the purpose through which, through this child, through your son, through my son. And I think she pondered this good news of Jesus in her heart. And this good news, this gospel became the strength to carry on in the midst of hardship and stress of her life. You know, if you look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says this. This is Apostle Paul talking to the Philippian church. He said, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You know, sometimes we don't feel like we're making much progress. You know, we're finally not like that anymore, and we see ourselves relapsing into our saving behavior. Sometimes we think, oh yeah, I finally made some progress, and then something takes us down. And sometimes I feel like, now I'm living in God's plan, God's guiding me, and then just like stresses and hardships and difficulties and maybe some spiritual attacks are coming after us. Maybe sometimes you feel like God's calling us to a new vision, a new city, and sometimes you feel like, ooh, difficulties, hardships, spiritual attacks just coming at us. But remember, God is going to finish what He started in you.
Amen.
Don't let hardship get you down. Don't let bad laws get you down. Don't let difficult relationships get you down. Don't let financial struggles get you down. As Mary pondered the good news of Jesus Christ, in her heart, ponder the good news of Jesus Christ in your heart. As Mary allowed the message of God, the gospel, to become the source of strength in her life, allow the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to be the strength of your life. Good news tells us that God has come to us. That's what Christmas is about. God has become one of us. And that God has taught us what the kingdom of God is like. He has inaugurated this new thing called the kingdom of God. And He has inaugurated it. And God has redeemed us into the kingdom by dying for us on the cross to reconcile us into a relationship with God, into the kingdom of God. And God is working in us and in the world. And God has given His life to make all of these things happen. He loves us. God loves us. And He's doing something in this world. He's doing something in your life. He started something. He ain't done with you yet. He continues to do it. But it's not just our individual. God has started something with the kingdom of God. He's doing something in this world. And God has started something at New City Church. And God is doing something at New City Church. And He ain't done with us yet. You know, the good news of Jesus Christ, it's not that all hardship is going to go away and we're all going to get blessed with prosperity and worldly success. That's not what it's about. Sometimes God does do that. Sometimes God answers our prayers and gives us the grace to endure, gives us an opening, gives us answer to a prayer, which makes it easier. And I do believe that God gives us the grace to be able to endure. But the good news, the primary good news of Jesus, is that God is with you. God is with us, even in the midst of our stresses, even in the midst of our suffering. And He invites you into His mission of building the kingdom of God, loving our lives, and changing the world. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we come to you as people in various different circumstances. We come to you with stresses, difficulties, hardships, struggles. You are a God who came into the center to bring the good news of Jesus Christ, to inaugurate the kingdom of God. So Lord, we thank you. And I pray that, Lord, your Spirit will guide us personally and as a community and as a neighborhood and as a country, O Lord, that your Spirit will guide us and continue to give us grace to help us endure, but more than anything else, Lord, to even rejoice in the midst of our sufferings, because you are with us. And if you are with us, we can do all things in Christ Jesus. So Lord, help us to live life encouraged and centered by the good news of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand up. We're going to sing our last song. Last beautiful Christmas song. I'm going to miss singing more Christmas songs. I'll go home and sing some more. And at the same time, it's also a time of offering.
Oh,
thank you for coming to be with us. We thank you for coming to teach us and inaugurate the kingdom of God. We thank you for coming to Dalhan for our sins. We thank you for your resurrection. We thank you that you're coming back to set everything right and to restore the world and to finish the work that you have started when you inaugurated the kingdom of God. And we thank you for calling us into the mission of building your kingdom, this upside-down kingdom that loves, that demonstrates grace. So, Lord, Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that, Lord, you will fill us with your presence. You will fill us with your Spirit. You will fill us with your joy. You will fill us with your vision. You will fill us with your loving grace so that we might demonstrate your loving grace, your joy to not only other people, but to ourselves, Lord, to be able to endure the difficulties of life and to walk and to demonstrate love even in the midst of hard circumstances, even in the midst of diseases and illnesses, even in midst of broken relationship, even in midst of financial struggles, even in midst of whatever hardship that we're going through, oh Lord, allow your presence and the good news of the kingdom of God give us strength to carry on, oh Lord, and help us continue to be a source of love and grace for all people around us. Do so.